You're listening to Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears, impacting marriages that leave a lasting legacy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears. This is our last episode, our last broadcast for this year.
What a great year.
It has been an amazing year.
2023 has been a great year.
God has and continues to do amazing things in and through our lives personally, with our ministry, with our family. God is just so good.
He's very good.
He is very good.
Merry Christmas to all of you. If we didn't get to announce that to you earlier in the earlier broadcast, but Merry Christmas to all of you. Hope you had a great Christmas with your family and friends. And I know we had a great Christmas with our family.
Amen.
And we look forward to the new year. And so, on this last episode, we thought we would kind of enter into some stuff for this new year.
You know, it really, the Lord impressed upon our hearts just, and this isn't going to be a super long episode, I don't think, but it could be. It depends on what God wants to do. But the Lord impressed upon our hearts to talk to you all about creating vision for your marriage. You know, businesses do that. So probably if you own a business, you've created a business plan and you've created a vision statement and a mission statement for your business. Your employer has done that. That happens all the time, every day in a lot of situations. And something that kind of slips through the cracks is that we don't really think about applying that same principle to our marriages.
Exactly.
You know, the Bible says without vision, the people perish.
Exactly.
You know, and you can substitute really in there without vision for your marriage. Your marriage is going to struggle because you guys aren't going to be on the same page with everything. And really, truly, when it gets down to it, God created marriages to thrive, not just to endure, not just to survive. And you can't thrive in business. You can't thrive at your workplace or whatever you're doing without a vision for it.
No.
I mean, why are you here? What are you doing? What is the purpose? What is the one thing that you're, the one goal that you're after?
Yeah.
And it's not just putting something on paper. It's really just communicating and collectively coming together in prayer and allowing God to create that vision, if you will, for your marriage.
You know what vision does? You know, I worked in the corporate world for 25 odd years in the automotive industry. I worked for Honda of America, so the automotive manufacturing company. And so obviously, as you said, honey, you know, Honda had visions all the time and casted vision for the company as well as, you know, how that would cascade down into the different departments that we work in. And I had that responsibility too, to cast a vision. And so you're so right that if you don't have a vision cast for the team that you're responsible for, then that team's going to perish. They're not going to succeed in trying to achieve the goals that are set by the overall organization, the corporate structure. So it's the same thing for our marriages. You know, and what vision does, it keeps you focused. Because
there's a lot of distractions in life.
There's a lot of distractions, and that's exactly where I was going. Yeah. Distractions are going to come all the time. And so if you have a vision, your vision is your roadmap, right? It's not to say that you can't have some subtle changes here or there. Maybe
you always
some
have to revisit that.
Yeah, in refinement. But at the end of the day, when you have these distractions that come in that start to take you away from the goal or your vision for your marriage for this upcoming year, you can always point back to, Donna could call me out and say, hey, that's really not helping us fulfill the vision for our marriage this year. When you're wanting to operate and do this, or you want to go off and do these other things, it's really a distraction. And so that's what the vision does. It grounds you. It brings you back to the center of where you really need to be and to keep your focus. Because if you don't keep your focus, then you're not going to have the results that you're looking for by the end of the year. And that's what we want to see for you. We want to happen for your life and see where that growth is going to take place in your own life and marriage. And so the vision is, it seems like it doesn't mean a whole lot. You might say, well, why, you know, what do I need to, well, you know, you're a certain place in your marriage right now, right? There's probably some things that you're not necessarily settled in or happy with, that you would like to see improved. Not to say that your marriage is, you know, is bad or, you know, it's on the brink of destruction or divorce or whatever. Some of you might be in that place and that might require a little bit, maybe some, you know, counseling and that kind of thing to get some additional support. But But painting that vision is going to help you guys move your vision forward, because everything in marriage requires work. Mm-hmm. It requires intentionality. And that's what we talked about a couple of weeks back, you know, our broadcast, you know, at the beginning of December. We talked about the laws of God and the importance of those laws and why those things matter, because everybody can have success in marriage if you're willing to implement those laws. And if you don't have a vision and you're struggling with a vision, just look at those four laws that we talked about back on December, was it 6th?
Yes.
Okay, yes. On December 6th. So go back and watch that episode and just look at those four foundational principles about marriage and those laws, because that will give you a roadmap and a vision for your marriage to work on and implement.
Yeah, Genesis 2, 24 and 25 are great two scriptures, power-packed with those four laws of priority, pursuit, partnership, and purity.
Yeah.
That is an awesome place to start when creating your vision for your marriage. God, you know, with God and doing marriage God's way, as we had talked about on that episode, if you do marriage God's way and you truly, truly do it God's way, not like the things that you want to do that make you feel good God's way, but the things that take sacrifice and surrender doing it God's way, if you truly do that, you have 100%. 100% success rate in your marriage.
Yeah.
Why is that? Because self is being denied, the flesh is being denied, and you're allowing the spirit to take over and allowing your covenant with God as your first priority.
Absolutely. And you know, when you're setting a vision also can include goals, right? So
Absolutely.
It was just kind of coming back from my business training years ago with Honda. You want to set goals that are SMART. It's an acronym, SMART goals. So SMART means specific goals, goals that you can actually measure, goals that are attainable, goals that are realistic, and that they're time bound, right? So you can say, hey, within a year or within the first 3 months, we want to be able to do this in our marriage and see some progress in certain areas. Make sure that when you set a goal relative to the vision that you talk about together, make sure that they're specific, they're measurable, they're attainable, they're realistic. Right, you don't want to have unrealistic goals, because if you set unrealistic goals, you're going to end in, you know, disappointment and frustration. There's no problem.
But you know what the automotive world or the world doesn't have is the God factor.
Exactly.
So yes, dream big. You know, we are learning to dream big and to have those God-sized goals, because that's where your faith is being built. When God shows up and he does that thing, you know, I mean, and when you say attainable, you're not saying, I know you're not saying no God. What you're saying is you can't say I'm going to own the world by the end of 2024. Right. That is not realistic. And right. So those are the kind of things we're talking about.
Yeah. So as you think about those kind of things, just make sure that you add goals to the vision, you know, some very specific things that you can actually see and put into action to work to achieve. I mean, I think
do you want to start a business together? There's a goal. Do you want, is it taking it back to, I just want my family, all of my family saved. There's a goal, you know? And so those are the things that you need to sit down and talk about. You know, it's not going to just be written down and done and decided on in a 5-minute conversation.
Yeah.
You know, this really is taking in everything that we've talked about since the beginning of Marriage Minute from 2021, October 21, and putting all of that into practice, your communication, your listening, your priority, your all of that comes into play, you know, and, you know, yes, you want goals and a vision for your family, but you also want it for your spouse as well. What are the goals here relationally? Mm-hmm. What are the goals here spiritually? Mm-hmm. What are the goals here emotionally? And so it's going to take some time.
Yeah.
And you have time. Don't, you know, it's never too late. And God is going to bless anything that you put your hand to that involves him. And so he will bless you in that.
No doubt.
Because God knows, and we know from personal experience, that great marriages, good marriages, I will just say great marriages take work.
They take work.
They don't just happen by happenstance. It's not a matter of luck. It's none of that. It takes time when you work on your marriage. How long have we been working on our marriage?
33 years.
No, we weren't. We weren't working on our marriage at the beginning.
Yeah, not that we knew. Yeah.
Since 2005, pretty much.
Probably since 2005, yeah.
So how many years is that? 13 years?
No, that's 18.
18 years. Mm-hmm. We have been working on our marriage for
intentionally
working on our marriage for 18 years. And we're not done.
No.
We're never done. It's always a journey. God always takes us to new and different places and new understandings of who we are and what needs to go and things like that. So we're here to testify to you that what you ask God to do in your marriage to restore and renew it, He will do it. But it's an ongoing journey, and it's an exciting journey. So it takes time.
Can I want to get down to like some specifics. This might be like hot buttons or points that like strike a nerve with you. So here's something like practically, right? Let's just say I'm thinking about myself when I bring this up, but let's say I don't know which one of you, the husband or the wife, but let's just say you're selfish. You're always thinking about yourself. You're not thinking about others. Maybe that's something you and your spouse can work on together. They see your selfish behavior, and this is an opportunity for you to start to die to yourself, surrender, and actually learn how to be a servant toward your spouse.
Amen.
That could be a goal, right? That's a relational improvement, right? What's something else that you...
Yeah. So another thing could be a time factor. You know, we've did a couple episodes on the sneaky deception of busyness and the sneaky deception of boredom. I highly encourage you to go back and watch those, because busyness, you know, even in the Christian world, is masqueraded as I'm doing work for God.
Right.
But it's busyness, and it's a distraction, and it's taking you away from your family and from your spouse. And so I think I've seen men, you know, be in that busy mindset or whatever, not just with work and stuff, but I see a lot of women, you know, bouncing around from here to there and doing this and that, and they're just so busy and they just don't have time. That's straight from the enemy. That is a deception of busyness that makes you feel like you're important and you're doing something. And so what I would suggest to you is in the new year, have a goal to adopt the gift of no, which is what I had to do. I had to be okay saying no. Hey, Donna, can you do this? No. Hey, Donna, setting will you do that?
Limits.
No. And what that does is that helps me to refocus to my spouse and make him the priority. And so that's something that, and that's hard. That's a difficult place to be in when you have to tell people that are used to you saying yes, saying no. And then that awkward silence, because I don't owe anybody an explanation for anything. I don't have to say no because I'm trying to work on my marriage and I want my husband to be first. Fine if you want to say that, but that's not anybody else's business but yours and your husband. No should be no. And there's a lot of people that are okay with you feeling awkward and pressured into giving them an explanation, and you don't know, you really don't owe anybody an explanation but the Lord. And so that would be a big one for me.
Like, I think another one is just communication. I mean, you know, I think back early in our marriage, we didn't know how to communicate. We didn't take time to actually sit down intentionally.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Talk to each other about what's going on. Now, I know with our kids, you know, which I think are probably, you know, they're in their upper 20s to early 30s. They do such a great job of communicating and sharing, and that we didn't do that
well.
Now, maybe that's the generation, their generation, and they all do that pretty well. But there may be some in that generation that don't and don't communicate and share their feelings well, or they, you know, or maybe you're our age or less, you're at different stages of life, and you just haven't learned how to communicate real well. Well, maybe that's a goal for your marriage. Mm-hmm. Maybe you take a day a week, you set aside and say, look, we're going to spend 2 to 3 hours uninterrupted time, no phone, no TV, no nothing. And we're just going to talk to each other about what's going on in our life, how we're feeling about, you know, our jobs, how we're feeling about kids, our children, how we're feeling about maybe do we want to have children? Whatever the topics are, you're just taking time to relate and to share and to let your feelings be known. Now, it's hard for guys to be vulnerable that way.
It is.
Ladies, it's not so difficult for you to do that. I think that's just inherent in how you guys operate and function. But for guys, it's hard for us to really open up and to share. And this is a great opportunity from a communication standpoint to really share what's going on inside of you, share your heart. Mm-hmm. And for the other person, if you're not a good listener, because we've gone through the same thing, listening is different than hearing. Hearing is I can repeat and parrot back what my wife said, but I didn't listen with any kind of intention, meaning there was something in what she said to me that's actually a deeper heart issue that she's feeling.
Exactly.
And so there's a clear difference in that. So this gives you an opportunity, one, to communicate your feelings, but also to learn how to be a better listener, not hearer, but a listener to understand the feelings and the emotions behind what's being said and to be empathetic with that.
I think that's a great goal as well. And to piggyback on that, another goal for 2024, if you guys struggle on the intimate side of things, you know, you can set a goal there and make, you know, should I say schedule, you know, for intimacy and for romance, you know, because, and it had to happen with us because we were just in busy, right?
Right.
And so something's got to give. And a lot of times it's that. And I know a lot of times women are like, yay, you know, that's got to give. I'm not really into it right now. And so I'm so busy. I can't even get my mind space around it. Cause for women, it's not just the act of sex. It's a whole mind, body, soul experience.
Right.
It's all of what happens that day and how the day starts and how it's ending and all of that. And so, you know, a goal and a vision for your marriage in that area could be, you know, we want to be more intimate. Yeah. Okay. You can say that, but how does that practically look? So you need to lay that out in practicality and understand, you know, his needs, your needs, where's the balance? Because the Bible does talk about not withholding ourselves from one another. Is a marital duty.
Right.
And you know, sexual release for men is a very, very important thing. I know it is for women as well. And we women are kind of on a, you know, whatever with that, as far as like some women are like men and they're like, yep, got to have it, love it. And then some aren't. And so, you know, that's, again, a conversation that you have to have with your spouse and to come to some understanding of what that would look like if you set that as a goal and a vision for your marriage.
Yeah, frequency, all those kinds of things, right? You can't use sex as a manipulative tool.
No.
Right? It can't be a form of punishment. If you're going to be, you know, using that as a form of punishment toward your spouse, it's manipulation. So that's not healthy. This is where the conversing, the communication, the talking about actually how you're feeling about a situation. Again, as we've always said, and we will continue to say, it's really about your heart. If your heart attitude is like, I want to be a better spouse. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better wife. If that is your heart's goal and that you're really entering into the things that we're talking about for this upcoming year, to become a better person, to become more like Christ, which is what we're called to be more like Jesus, not to be like Richard and Donna, Pastors Richard and Donna. We're not saying be like us, be like Jesus. Jesus is the model. He's the one that we lift up for the one that we want to become more like.
Amen.
It's not us. We share our story. We share our testimony about how God has changed us and moved us. And we're just sharing our history as far as the goodness of God and how he's worked in our lives because we were willing.
Yes.
We surrendered. That's the key. But don't ever, back to the whole sexual piece, don't ever use sex as a manipulative tool.
Right.
Communicate, talk, share your feelings, really, dig in that area and don't use that as a means to try to get what you want and how you want it. That's not a healthy way to approach, you know, dealing with conflict in your life and in your marriage.
Yeah. So what we're saying is marriage, great marriages, they take work. They take time. They take patience. They take understanding. They take sacrifice, surrendering, not only to your marriage, to the Lord, putting your marriage on the altar, your children on the altar, because you are not in control. God is, but also, sacrificing yourself, you know, physically for your husband, you know, sometimes it is an act of sacrifice, you know,
it's the truth
being together because something might have happened to me that day, but, you know, I have committed myself to my spouse and we're going to see this thing through. And so God.
And for a man, you know, a sacrifice may be like, okay, well, I love to play golf. Well, maybe, because your wife has just been completely buried in, you know, running the household with the kids and so on and so forth, you may need to cut back on playing golf. Why? Because you're willing to make a sacrifice so that you two come together and you're working in a partnership. You're sharing in the responsibilities of your home and you're not leaving that all to your wife to do. Amen. So that becomes a sacrifice for you. Amen. But you're doing that, and your wife is going to see that when you make that sacrifice. She's going to see that, and that's going to speak love to her.
Yes.
Because you were willing to give something up in order to help and support her.
Amen.
These are real life issues that we have to take a hard look at in order to see things changed and improved in our marriage. This is the intentional stuff.
That's the intentionality is what I was going to say.
This is the intentionality of the four laws that we talked about a couple weeks back. They do play out practically in your life.
They do, and we hope that you guys have adopted those and started allowing those four key laws for our marriage to really kind of saturate your marriage and to start leading from that. You know, so why do we create vision for our marriage? Because God intended marriages to thrive, number one. Secondly, marriages take work. And so when you're creating a vision and you're sitting down to do that with your spouse, you're working together for a solution. You're coming into partnership, law number three, with your spouse to create the best marriage that God has for you. And number three, our last point is being on the same page together, being in one, being in unison, coming together in one flesh, understanding the game plan for your marriage. That just brings intimacy to each of us. It brings confidence to your marriage, and it brings connection. When you are on the same page with your spouse, you know that you know that you know that you guys have the same vision, the same thought, the same mindset, the same passion, the same mission for your marriage and for your family. There's a connection there. There's something that brings you together so strongly that the devil has no right, or he can't even break anything apart, because you guys are so connected with covenant with God for your marriage.
Well, the devil wants to destroy marriages, right? So we talked about this earlier in this episode, where there's going to be things that come in that are distractions, right? The devil is that's part of his game, is to create distractions, right? The last thing he wants to see happen in your life and in your marriage is for you two to be working as one, because he wants to break down the family. That's his goal. He comes to kill, he comes to steal, and he comes to destroy. That's his goal for every individual and for every marriage, because a marriage actually represents God. It represents the union between Jesus Christ and the church. It's resembled in the New Testament as we are the bride of Christ, the church. Christ is the groom. And so the same thing is happening here. This is a representation of actually God to the world. And so when we get it right here, we're actually representing God to the people of the world. And so when you have a vision and you say, okay, ultimately, you know, my marriage is based upon and founded upon the word of God, and that God was a witness to my marriage, I'm witnessing him. Number one is a high level vision of your marriage. That's what I'm witnessing to a generation of people that need to be impacted by God.
Amen.
Secondly, when you have the vision and the mission that you're laying out together for this upcoming year, then you don't get what we call mission creep, right? So when the distractions come in, you're not going off. No, you can pull it back to what you guys had talked about at the very beginning of the year. No, this isn't really kind of lining up with what we talked about at the beginning of the year. This is getting off on tangents. This is getting off on distractions. And it's taking us away from the goals that we've set with each other to see, you know, where we want our marriage to be by the end of this year.
Amen.
So that's the power of the vision. That's the power of having a mission and a plan for your life and your marriage for this year. It's going to do, you're going to be, when you look back on 2024, when you come to the end of 2024 next year, you're going to say, wow, I am so glad we took the time to do this. I'm so glad we moved in intentionality.
Amen.
To work on our marriage, to improve in certain areas. And man, can you believe how far we've come?
No.
That's what you're going to say.
That's going to be awesome.
When you
look what the Lord has done.
Yeah. And because you were willing.
Yeah.
You were willing, you were obedient, you were saying, "Look, I want to surrender and I want to do and have the best marriage that I possibly can have, and that's what God wants me to have." And I've decided to go his way about it, not my way.
You know, here at Revival Now, we have a vision for 1 million souls for Jesus in a 10-year span. That is our vision.
It's a vision.
That is our vision for this ministry. And anytime, because there's a lot of people that ask things, you know, hey, let's do this. Hey, and even from ourselves, hey, I've got this idea. You know, we're sitting in a meeting. Hey, let's do this. We always have to come back to our vision for the ministry. Does it support 1 million souls for Jesus Christ? 1 million souls entering into the kingdom. And if it doesn't, then we don't do it. Mm-hmm. And that's the same principle that you need to hold on to when you create a vision for your marriage for 2024.
Amen.
Some of you may already have been doing it. If you haven't, just start. Just start. That's all you got to do is take that first step. God will bless it, and He will tell you what your next step is.
That's for sure.
So we hope you were blessed by just what we had to share, what was on our heart.
Yeah.
We want to let you guys know that this will be our last Marriage Minute episode, obviously for 2023.
Yeah.
But we start our 21-day fast every year. Revival Now does our 21-day prayer and fasting January 1st through the 21st. And so we will not be back in the studio. We're going to be on throughout the fast. We're going to be taking some time to share with people regarding the fast and doing some teaching during January 21st to the 21st. But Marriage Minute won't be broadcasting live until the 24th of January.
Right.
So we just wanted to get that out there to you guys. And, you know, we want you to be as successful as God wants you to be now in this present day, but also in 2024 and the years to come. And you can't really do that unless you have given your life to Jesus Christ. And so we want to give you that opportunity each and every time that something new the Lord has put on our heart. It just kind of flows into that. It wasn't anything that we were intentional about. It just kind of happened, which I'm really grateful for, because that is now supporting, you know, the vision of a million souls into the kingdom. And so, have you given your life to Jesus? Is He number one in your life? Do you even know Him? You know, if you're listening live right now, or if it's on demand and you're hearing this broadcast, would you give your life to Jesus today? You cannot, absolutely cannot have the life that is intended for you without Jesus, without accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Excuse me.
So, this is the most important decision you will ever make in your life.
Amen.
Eternity's at stake. There is a real heaven, and there's a real hell. And the Bible says that Jesus said that heaven was made for the devil and his angels. Mm-hmm. Wasn't made for you. It was made for Him. He knows where He's going, and His fallen angels.
Hell.
He
said heaven.
I'm sorry.
Hell.
Let me say that again. Hell was made for the devil and his angels, not heaven. My mistake. I'm sorry.
All right. That's all right.
And so hell was not made for you. Hell was made for the devil and his angels.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't have to go to the devil's hell. You can be in heaven for eternity with Jesus forever and ever and ever.
And you can
and
do
it's
that.
A real place.
And you can do that in three steps. You need to, one, recognize that you've sinned, because the Bible says that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I'm getting a tickle in my throat.
Okay.
And so the first thing we need to do is recognize. You need to recognize your own sin.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to just say, hey, we're all sinners, you know, and just lump us all together. That is very true until you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But we have to recognize your own personal sin.
Mm-hmm. But the Bible says that we've all sinned.
Yeah, I just shared that. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
That's right.
And secondly is we need to confess. We need to repent. We need to confess our sins. Because the Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us our sins. You're going to take over?
Yep. He is faithful to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And so repentance, that word in the original language, means to turn around 180 degrees. So whatever life that you've been living that has not been godly, that's been your own way, you've decided what you think is right, you really haven't been using the Bible as the guide and the source of your life, and you're not connected to a Christian church, whatever the case, a Bible-believing church, you're beginning to understand what that looks like now. And when you do, you actually turn away from that way of life and you leave it. That's what repentance means. You don't continue in it. You actually leave it and you move forward. So that's what that's what recognizing and repenting. And then finally, the third step is you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so when you call on the name of Jesus, you're calling on what Jesus did on the cross over 2,000 years ago. He came, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for your sin and for mine, and then he was raised to life on the third day, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he intercedes on your and I's behalf. And so when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you receive him into your heart, you're receiving the work that Jesus did, that he paid a great price for you, that he died and he rose again on the third day.
Amen.
And he canceled out the sin debt that you and I have. That's what Jesus did. It doesn't matter if your family went to church. It doesn't matter if you classify yourself as belonging to a certain religion. If you have not confessed the name of Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you're not born again. And that is the most important decision you're ever going to make. So, hey, we want to give the opportunity to pray this prayer with us. Pray it in your heart. Pray it out loud. But mean it. When you mean business with God, God will mean business with you.
That's right.
And so he will come in. He will take residence on the inside of you. His very spirit will come in on the inside, and he will make you a new person. Jesus said, I came to make all things new. And that's exactly what happens. You become transformed into a new person. All old things are passing away, and all new things and new life has now come when you accept Christ as your Savior. Mm-hmm. So pray this prayer with us as we pray this for you, and just repeat this in your heart. So, Lord Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner.
I recognize I'm a sinner.
I thank you for dying for my sin. I thank you that you went to the grave on my behalf. That you went to the cross and accepted all of the punishment that I deserve. And I want to accept you, and I confess right now and accept you as my Lord and my Savior. I thank you. I receive you into my heart right now as my Lord and my Savior. I thank you for dying for me. I thank you for being raised to life for me. And I thank you that you've gone to make a heavenly home for me, just for me. I thank you for that. I receive you now. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. And I receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, hey, if you prayed that prayer with us right now, please go to our website at revivalnow.com. You'll see a big red button on the landing page. It says, I just got saved. Click that button. It'll lead you to a page where you can fill out some information. We're not going to spam you with information or emails. We just simply want to pray for you, and we want to send you a small booklet to help you in the decision that you just made today to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
There'll also be some video resources for you to take a look at as well. And we just want to say a big welcome to God's family.
Amen.
We're proud of you, and we love you.
Yeah, thank you so much. And get yourself connected to a great Bible-believing church.
Amen.
Now that you have Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, just ask him, guide me to the right church in my community.
Amen.
Guide me to the place where I'm going to be taught the Bible, the whole Bible, the full counsel of God, what his word says for me in my life, so that I can continue to grow and be discipled and to become a follower of Jesus Christ in the fullness that I can. And so we thank you for watching today. We thank you for watching Marriage Minute. Thank you for
following us. Happy New Year.
This 2023 year. And yes, Happy New Year to you. And we look forward to seeing you again in 2024.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening today. Catch all of our podcasts at revivalnow.com and send us your Marriage Minute questions at marriageminute@revivalnow.com.